Hey guys, it's Chad Dallas with the Toronto Blue Jays. You're watching The Walk Off with Scott and Adam.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's The Walk Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one.
So excited to be joined by today's guest pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays organization, Chad Dallas. Welcome to the walk-off, man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, buddy. Happy New Year to you.
Same to y'all.
So before we get too far into this, congrats on 2021, by the way. It may not have been everyone's favorite year, but it treated you pretty darn good, buddy. Saw you get drafted in the fourth round by the Blue Jays, and as if that wasn't exciting enough, you helped lead your Tennessee Volunteers as one of the eight teams into the College World Series. Pretty big year, buddy. Congrats.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was filled with energy and a lot of memories that I'll remember forever, that's for sure.
Oh, I can imagine. Where are you at right now, Chad?
I'm at my parents' house in Orange, Texas.
In Orange, Texas. Is that where you kind of spend your off season?
Yes. So right now, yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing your training there? Are you headed to Florida shortly, or what's your plan here?
I haven't got a date for Florida yet, but so I've been doing my training down here, either at my high school or with a trainer that I know, and he helps train a lot of the college guys and pro guys from this area. So kind of like a tight-knit group that we've grown into over the years.
I can imagine it's probably an area where you know everybody, eh? If they're playing baseball in your county, you know them, yeah.
Exactly.
So we just touched on it a little bit, but I'm super curious what that College World Series was like. I mean, so few guys get to experience it. And last summer, you actually went through the gauntlet of the 64-team tournament, and we're down to the final eight. That had to have been a wild experience.
Yeah, it was nuts. We knew that we could do it. So that was our goal. Can't win it unless you get there. So that was kind of our goal. And along the way we had, we were playing well, playing together, had a couple of walk-offs that, just like absolutely bring the energy and, kind of flip the script in your favor. And so it was definitely, it was a dream come true. Everybody dreams of playing in that when you're a little kid. So, and then we got there and it was an awesome experience. You got to experience Omaha, experience the stadium, the energy of the stadium. It was really awesome.
Well, it's like you said, it's kind of iconic, right? Like if you're aiming for college baseball, like it is the pinnacle. It must have been a little surreal.
It was. So, the day before we played the day or 2 days before we actually played our first game against Virginia, Coach Vitello, we had a small practice out there, and he told us before we go out to the field to take like 5 minutes, to walk out onto the field and just kind of look around and embrace it, take it all in, because once the game starts, there's no time to take it all in. So you got to get it in before. And even when I ran out to pitch in our first game to throw my warm-up pitches, I kind of stood off the back of the mound, did a full 360 just so I could fully get it out of my system and,
soak it in, eh?
It was an unreal experience.
Is it tough in a game or a tournament that big to be in the moment, like you just kind of mentioned? Like, I'm sure that's why the coach was like, seriously, like, take it in because it'll just pass you by.
Yeah. I think sometimes it definitely can be tough, and especially in a stadium that has so much energy like that one does. And it's easier. It's definitely easier to get out of the moment. It's not easy to stay in the moment. It's a lot easier to fall out of the moment, and then you have to get back in. But that's just something you have to, you have to learn how to do, is kind of like step off the mound for me, I guess. Have that one little thing that kind of brings you back in. So
to have an experience of this sort of magnitude before you even start pro ball, like, you've got to feel pretty blessed, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We've it didn't turn out how we wanted it, but
no.
You know, we talked about it with coaches and the team and, you know, even my family. Like it was just something that I'll never forget and something that I always dreamed about, and I got to do it, and just like an experience that, you know, I'll always remember and think about throughout my whole life. And so I just I appreciate the time we had there, because it was awesome.
Well, I know that there's been guys that we've talked to who have brought up that nothing really drives you to win more than losing in big time stakes, when the stakes are high, right? Like, do you feel that? Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, if it's a big game and, you know, the stakes are high, it's probably going to be a good game. And, you know, I would rather get blown out 10 to nothing than lose, you know, 1-0. those tiny, tiny lead games are what really get a team, because mainly then you start thinking, why didn't you win that game? You know, you had one run, two runs to get. Why couldn't you win that game? And then it just, you know, it flusters people for a while. If you get your tail whipped, you just kind of move on. You can't get mad at that. It just happens.
A little more heartbreak when you can start to evaluate every single minor moment that might have made a difference, eh? So, Chad, did you have any idea that you were going to be taken by the Blue Jays the night of the draft?
I did not. I did not really know who it was going to be or even when it was going to be. I didn't talk to many scouts leading up to the draft. I let my agent talk to them for me. I just didn't want to, maybe it'll be here, maybe it'll be there, just kind of floating in my head. So I kind of wanted just to go in free. And then if my agent told me something, you know, that'd be nice, like a hint or there. But no, I had no idea.
So what is that process like? Is it just you sit back and your agent fields all these calls and kind of lets you know what's going on, or were you sitting down with some organizations? How did this all go about?
Yeah. So in the fall we had scout meetings, team meetings. And it's basically the teams that are interested in you. You have about a 30-minute interview kind of conversation with them getting to know who you are, them introducing, just kind of asking some basic questions. And then after the season, a couple of teams still reached out just to talk and, you know, just kind of get a little basic understanding of how each other are feeling about the other. The agent, or I guess advisor at that time, he's basically the middleman for the whole operation. So like in my situation, I didn't want that stuff running through my mind, you know, of the hopes and maybe this, maybe that. So he would talk to the scouts and he would kind of inform me if there was something important for that he thought I should know. And he kind of kept it simple. I mean, I think that day we talked, you know, it's kind of like a how you doing message in the morning. And then, you know, like maybe one or two text messages throughout the first couple rounds. And then that was it. And then he called me with about the Blue Jays.
What is it like when you have no idea what round you're going, what team you're going to? Like, was that day of the draft, were you a nervous wreck, or did you kind of keep your head on your shoulders?
My head was on my shoulders on the outside, but I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
In the first couple of rounds, I was kind of thinking to myself, maybe I should have talked to some people. Even if you don't talk to anybody, you kind of place yourself, and then you place yourself way higher than what you really place yourself. So when that place, you know, when the highest one passes, you're like, I don't know, you know, you kind of start thinking, but then you kind of, what I did was just kind of, you know, think about how the year went, started, you know, not believing in myself, because I always have, but kind of trusting what I did to prepare for this, kind of trust that for it to happen. And so finally, the Blue Jays had called, and it was awesome.
So I know I was cruising through your Instagram, and you were showing it off there, but you have a Bowman baseball card of yourself in a Blue Jays uniform, which is like so cool. And the kid in you must have just been losing his mind to see this. How did that come about? Did they approach you, or did it, all of a sudden you just have a card?
It was through agent. He did that, and it was awesome. I have some signed ones coming out. I think some are out right now, and then some are just the picture. And it's been awesome to see. We got some from my dad for his Christmas stocking, kind of one he could have here and at his office. And then a lot of friends and family have texted me and asked me and like sent me pictures of their card that they got. And it's just been awesome to see, because, yeah, like you said, it's a, you know, you collect cards when you're a kid, and we did, that's for sure. So seeing that was very, it almost felt fake. It truly, honestly,
I can imagine. Can imagine. And it's funny because truly in the grand scheme of things, it means nothing. But it must have also felt pretty darn validating, like even to be able to hand it out to your family and friends and stuff and be like, hey, like I've pursued this my whole life, and now look, I'm on a card.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's exactly how I felt. It was just crazy that, you know, the job's obviously not done, but that's just like a little checkpoint, or, you know, like a little milestone.
Yeah.
Makes you feel good.
So do you, I mean, obviously you start your professional career this season, 2022. Have you been down to Dunedin yet? Have you seen that training facility that all the boys can't stop raving about?
Yeah. And I agree with them. It's unreal. So yeah, I think a couple of days after the draft, flew down there to Florida, and I stayed till somewhere in October. So I was there for a couple of months, training, didn't throw too much, kind of slowed it down a little bit to build the arm back up. Then I threw a couple innings and struck ball. So it was good though, man, that facility, that's something to rave about. I swear it's awesome.
So you led that Tennessee rotation all year. You were the guy. What do you think your strengths are as a starter, and what are you working on going forward?
I think my strengths are just my competitive nature. I'm not going to throw around anybody. I'm going to throw strikes. Hitting's so hard. I mean, I can't do it. So hitting is such a hard, aspect of baseball. Like, hitters are going to get themselves out a good amount of times, more than a pitcher actually thinks about it. So, I mean, you fill up the zone. You don't have to throw three off speeds outside of the zone and make them chase. You know, you can fill up the zone and still be very successful. And like, just fill up the zone, be a dog on the mound, you know, go at everybody. And then,
that mindset is so important, eh? Like, it's so easy as a pitcher to forget how difficult hitting is.
Yeah. I've had a couple people tell me that, you know, at Tennessee and then at the Blue Jays, or with the Blue Jays as well. Because you don't think about that. You don't think, all you're thinking about is, okay, this guy's hitting 300 in the SEC. You know, I got to find a way to get this guy out. But no, like, hitting is hard. So if you just do your job, fill up the zone, throw nasty pitches in the zone, you know, you'll be all right. And so that's just kind of the way I think about it.
Locating is such a big deal. And I know I was going through your stats and stuff like that, and that is something that you actually do quite well, is locate and like you said, fill up that strike zone. Is that a mindset, or is that more just a skill, or is it a combo of both?
I think it'd be a combo of both. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I can hit every spot, you know, on the
of pin. Course.
Yeah. But,
you'd already be in the show if you could, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge mindset as well. Just filling up the zone is not showing, you know, the opponent anything other than, you know, he's filling up his zone, but to myself, the way I see it is, you know, you're competing, you're not afraid of that guy, you'll throw it right down the middle, and 3 times out of 10 he'll, you know, he can do something. Or, you know, it's just,
it's even 2.5 times.
Yeah, you know, it's just simple things that I don't think about all the time. Is just, you know, constant reminders that I can, that I can throw it up in the zone. So, and then one thing I've been working on this offseason is bettering my changeup, getting it a little bit slower, and getting it more consistent to where I'm comfortable and I trust the pitch. I kind of got it. I've gotten it a little better right now. It's a little slower, getting better movement. So now it's just being comfortable with throwing it in the zone consistently.
Have the Blue Jays talked to you at all about where they plan on starting you next year, or is that all up to spring training? Like, do you have
a rough idea?
No.
I haven't got any hints, which I kind of like. Now, maybe at spring training, kind of like the draft, I might want a hint, but yeah. No, I don't have a single hint, so I'm going to have to pack half hot and half cold and just chip back that I don't need and get, you know, mom or dad to send the other half with me.
Yeah. Well, I hope you wind up in Vancouver sometime this season. I know that all the boys, whenever we talk to them, they always love that Nat Bailey Stadium and just Vancouver in general. Have you been to Canada before?
I have not.
No?
But my brother went to Vancouver probably a couple of years ago. He loved it. He played with a buddy at college who's from Vancouver. So he went and visited him. He said he loved it. And then at Instructs and at the facility, I heard nothing but great things about the Vancouver Canadiens. So I'm excited.
What did your mom think when she found out you were drafted to the Blue Jays of all places?
At first we were all super excited.
Of course.
She's actually right around the corner in the other room. So she's a big fan of watching sports when her sons play.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
So she doesn't know anything about it, but she definitely loves when her boys are playing. So she'll definitely make it out to wherever I'm playing and root on the Jays. But no, she was super excited. I think she was even more excited that she'll get to go to Canada for, you know, have a reason to go to
Green
Canada.
Excuse.
Yeah, so take some vacation time off of work and go up to Canada at some point.
Well, it'll be the time of the year to be in Canada too. I don't know how well you know the metric system, but -40 Celsius and -40 Fahrenheit is where they actually meet. That's the middle where they're the same temperature. And it is currently where we are in Alberta, which is just above Montana. It is currently -40 with the wind chill. So we've kind of hit that Fahrenheit Celsius center here.
Wow. Mom, what's the temperature out here?
I don't even want to know.
Now you're going to rub it in.
Today, 58.
Yeah, 58 today.
Oh. Right.
I like being chilly and cool. I don't freezing.
Oh, Vancouver in July, you're fine, buddy. You are fine. Yeah. Chad, it is kind of cool. This might age me for this reference, but buddy, you have such a Rick Vaughn, the Wild Thing from Major League vibe when you're on the field in your sports glasses. I love it, buddy. Do you just prefer glasses? I know a lot of guys just throw on contacts. Is there a reason you go with that?
I had to catch in high school, so the contacts, all the dust and dirt would fly in my eyes. So I couldn't do that anymore, and I moved on to the glasses. So I had those big, bulky, you know, rec specs in high school. My senior year going into junior college, I got, you know, the cool-looking Oakleys. Pitched with those all throughout, you know, my junior college year, the COVID year, and then this past season. And then we went to Texas A&M for a series, and I left them there. Left them at the hotel. I lost. So I had to go back and start using the rec specs again. So I kind of like it. I think, you can hear the chirps from the dugout. I call them the mosquito hunters.
I love it.
Yeah. So I've been called, like, you know, Scuba Steve, stuff like that, but it's good chirps, you know, it's something that kind of makes you giggle inside, but I enjoy them. And, I actually got LASIK 2 weeks ago, but I'm gonna pop out. I'm popping out the lenses.
Wow.
They're gonna go. Goggles are staying with me.
Love it. Love it. Atta boy. It's funny because Adam and I are both professional stand-up comics, and one thing that I always like kind of compare between baseball and comedy is that the hecklers are real, and they both things, they will they'll chirp you if you're not doing well or you're looking funny.
That's for exactly.
So out of curiosity, we just talked about what a huge year 2021 was for you. What was that 2020 draft like? I mean, you most likely would have been drafted that year, but you had to wait because it was a 5-round draft that year and everything was shortened because of COVID. What was it like to deal with that as like a mental hurdle? And now that things played out the way they did, are you glad that it went that way?
Yeah, I'm very glad. You know, things worked out. This I was too young for the 2020.
Okay.
But watching my friends, a couple of my buddies, I know you know one of them, Garrett Crochet. I was roommates with him. Roommates with him that COVID year. That kid's a freak show. And just watching his, you know, the way, you know, he has a different path than literally every MLB player that's ever made it. But it's exciting, and he deserves what he has right now. So I'm happy for him. But it was kind of cool because I had never been a part of a draft like that, to see and be so close with my buddies and kind of get the secondhand excitement and enjoyment and just kind of things like that, is because – you know, I'd never been with somebody that had been drafted in baseball. Never been like been with them for the draft. It was a really cool experience getting to see the emotion and see the joy in everybody's eyes and, you know, feel it all in the room. So it was really cool. And then, but yeah, perfect. Super glad. Super glad I was too young and had to wait. That 5-round draft, I would have been too nervous.
Oh, right? Just talk about an extra wrinkle and already a nerve-wracking time for a young player, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Growing up in Texas, I mean, everyone knows it as a football hotbed. Is baseball overshadowed a little bit, or are you kind of in an area where baseball's big as well?
Man, We have good baseball down here. It's not even close to the football.
Yeah.
I went to my high school is the most winningest program of football in Texas history. Oh. Right. So it's we have good baseball in this area, like I said, but it just can't compare.
Yeah.
Well, high school football stadiums in Texas are bigger than pro football stadiums in Canada.
Yeah.
bigger than a lot of pro stadiums in the States too, I suppose.
Yeah, there's some big ones. Especially, you know, you get to those big 6A schools such as probably the most well known is like Westlake or Allen High School where Kyler Murray's from. Those stadiums are just ridiculous. And but I mean, it's not like it was built for no reason. They fill the stands every Friday, so it's definitely something that if you're ever in Texas, you should check out.
Definitely. So when it comes to back to baseball here, when it comes to pitching, really you can break it down. It's all about executing your game plan and then adjusting as hitters adjust. And as you head into 2022, wherever you wind up, whether it's, you know, Dunedin or Vancouver, wherever you wind up, you'll be facing hitters you've never pitched to, and you'll be playing teams you've never played. How do you approach this upcoming season?
I think I just approach it, you know, how I normally would. Maybe even attack a little more. I mean, the people that I'll be facing only have videos from me in college, and not saying there's going to be, you know, just this drastic change of the way I pitch or, you know, the stuff I have, but there's going to be you know, things that always change. And so, you know, I'd be a little bit better than what I was in college. And so, you know, they've never seen me, so I'll be able to attack them. And, you know, and then if they do catch on, then we'll make our adjustments and move on. But just kind of open mind, and there's going to be a lot of excitement moving into this season, that's for sure.
Do you think that when it comes down to the hitter never seeing a pitcher and the pitcher never seeing the hitter, does the advantage kind of skew to the pitcher?
I think 100%. Because, I mean, you're pitching, you can say you're pitching to the batter, you can say you're pitching to the strike zone, you're really pitching to the swing in my head. So, I mean, I have to throw to one swing, this guy has to swing to 3-4 pitches. Right. That's kind of what. So, he can change his bat pass, things like that. But, you know, I think when it's 1v1, first time around the order, I think it's usually the advantage of the pitcher. So, I'd like it to stay that way for a while.
Yeah, one of those things you remind yourself every once in a while, I'm sure. Exactly. I know you mentioned that you've been working on your changeup. What pitch are you feeling best about right now? What's your go-to pitch?
Go-to pitch, I'll throw a fastball, any count, but go-to what this past year, the slider that I learned, at some point to the season, I felt like I could throw it at any count, any spot. I just had it down. And, you know, some games it wasn't like that. That's just how baseball works. But just about the whole season, I was very comfortable with throwing that pitch. You know, 3-2, 0-0, it didn't matter. I was ready. If the coach called it in and the catcher put it down, I was never shaking that pitch off.
Yeah.
Ever. Not once.
It's funny how if you can locate it, that slider can just be so deadly and just play off the fastball so well. I know, I mean, Jays fans here, obviously, right? But we just watched Robbie Ray pretty much win a Cy Young on two pitches, the slider and fastball. And, like, yeah, that slider's deadly.
Yeah, it is. It's, I didn't get to watch him pitch in person. I'm trying to we saw Manoa pitch. We were there against the Rays in Tampa since we were so close.
Yeah.
It was cool to kind of see, watch it in person. I mean, I grew up going to the Houston Astros games, but kind of being a part of the organization and then watching the guys ahead of you, that was really cool.
Have you had any advice given to you by either a coach or a fellow player that kind of stands out to you?
And Manoa was down in Dunedin. I can't remember at what point. And he kind of just sat down and talked to our draft class and basically told us to, you know, what we did to get here doesn't need, you know, double. You just need to stay with what you did to get here and maybe up it a little bit so you can stay here and keep progressing. But the main thing that I kind of got from him was basically do your thing. Don't care what people think about you. And you know, in with,
yeah,
in not, you know, doing crazy things, but, you know, do what you do. And that's just kind of, you know, do your stuff on the field and get it done. So that's kind of what stuck with me. I've kind of had that mindset my whole life. So I kind of like that he also said that as well.
Well, that's kind of cool, too, to hear a guy who has been there and done that and gone through the rigors of it all kind of sit down and be like, hey, you're here for a reason, so keep doing what you're doing. That's fantastic advice.
Yeah, it was awesome. We probably had a 15-minute conversation, the draft class and Alex. So it was really awesome.
When you're not concentrating on baseball, what do you like to do to unwind? You a gamer?
I like to play a little bit of video games. I just started Madden 22, but Madden is my worst game. So, yeah, I play the show a little bit, and then
you golf?
I do golf. I'm not the best at golf, but I love to golf, so I'll always golf.
all the Jays, boy, do they love to golf, man. Everyone in this organization, it's wild. Like every guy we talk to, they're like, we got a tee time. Can we work around that? So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think we probably have to schedule our interviews around tee times more than we do baseball activities.
Hey, you're only at the field long.
Yeah, so Chad, we really appreciate your time, man, and I love sitting down and talking with you. I'm going to throw to Adam here. He's got a few questions we call foul territory, so he'll do that, and then we'll get...
I was going to say, before we do that, I've got some fan questions, or do you have some fan questions as well?
I also have some fan questions, but we can...
We'll do foul territory first, then.
Okay.
So these are not necessarily baseball related. They're going to be kind of silly and all over the place, perhaps. But let's start with this first one here. How long do you figure you would survive in a zombie apocalypse?
Man. All right. Flip the script real quick. If I have... I'm trying to think. I mean, I can collect enough resources just in this city. Man, I'm just trying to put in my head how big this, you know, like how many are in my city. I would say if I actually had to, you know, fight not the whole day, but majority of the day, I think I'd last a week.
A week, okay. Yeah, love
I
it.
A week. I would not last a day. Week. I'd be gone.
No. All right. Chad's in better shape than you are, Adam.
A little bit. I got one of those those early 90s pitcher bodies, so
a David Wells, if you will.
A David Wells body, yeah. Absolutely. All right. If being a pro ball player was not an option for you, what would you be doing?
I would definitely be working on getting my insurance license and following up my father in Dallas Insurance. That's for sure. That's always been my backup plan. So, you know, just going to school, getting my degree, all that good stuff. But I'm very, very happy I'm on this path right now.
The family business. It's a good answer. Okay. All right. What is something about you, Chad, that drives your girlfriend nuts?
Probably a lot.
We only have time for one.
I know. I'm trying to think of a good one. Oh, man.
You know what? You think about that. We can circle back to that one.
Okay.
Do you watch baseball?
I started to.
Okay. So you must have, when you were younger, watched baseball.
Yeah.
So when does that, at what age does that stop?
Did I stop watching it?
Yeah. Like at what point do you stop watching it and you're like, you know what? I'm not a fan of baseball. I am baseball. Because I never grew out of that, right? I never became a baseball. Like I played baseball my whole life.
Yeah.
But I always watched it because I was never a baseball player. So when does it stop for you?
The reason I did stop is a little different. If I'm in person, I can watch baseball, but on TV, you know, it's slower on TV, I guess.
And yeah.
Yeah. My ADHD will kick in. I'll go play some video games or something, but, it didn't stop until probably the spring semester of my freshman year of college at junior college. That's when I kind of, truly believed that I could do something. You know, I had my one junior college offer out of high school, and I went in that with full faith, believed in myself, but it didn't really hit me until that spring that, you know, I could really do something with it.
It's funny you bring up the speed of the game, because we've been very lucky here on the walk-off to have a bunch of the guys from Sportsnet, which is the broadcast company that shows all the Jays games and stuff, come on the show and talk. And one thing that they all reiterated is throughout the COVID season, when they got back into the live stadium, how fast it was. They're like, you know, you just, when you're watching it on TV, you forget how quickly guys are moving and how fast things happen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's thankfully I've basically had a stepladder to the speed where I'm at now. You know, high school, went to junior college, got a little faster. and then moved on to, you know, 4 year at Tennessee, and it got even faster. So I'll expect it'll get a little faster wherever I go this spring, but I'll be ready for it.
Awesome.
You know, the answer about losing interest in watching it on TV but still enjoying it in person, that's one of baseball's biggest problems right now. How does baseball fix that? Like, you're a young guy. You're the demographic that baseball really needs to be capturing the attention of. How do they fix that?
Ah, man.
How would you feel? Like, one thing that's been kind of tossed about is the idea of a pitch clock. How would you feel about a pitch clock as a pitcher?
Yeah, we had a pitch clock in college this season.
Really?
Yeah, it's 20 seconds, but it's basically like as you engage the rubber. So it's really not that bad. Sometimes if an umpire is kind of quick to jump the gun and does it like when you catch the ball from the catcher, then it kind of is like, holy cow, like, I got to get going. But it's not that bad. But at the same time, like doing my routine, I kind of fix myself, jersey, if I feel uncomfortable, I do kind of all that kind of stuff before I get on the rubber. And so I know, and there's some guys in the big leagues that, you know, take a pretty decently long time to get themselves in control before they pitch between every. So, you know, I would never want to like make them have to change it. But maybe.
Well, what were the consequences for not making the pitch timer? Was it just a free ball or what?
You get a warning. And then I think the next time it's a ball. Okay. I think so. Oh,
okay. All right. This next one here, Scott kind of touched on earlier. What are some of your favorite unwinders? You mentioned golf and gaming a little bit.
Yeah. Also like throwing the football with my brother, you know, kicking it with him, making fun of him.
Brothers are good for that.
Yeah. Hanging out with him, and, especially my brother's new daughter, or my niece Drew. So that's been a blessing. That's been really fun over the past couple of months to enjoy and watch her grow, at least grow an inch or two, something like that.
All right. So we talked about your baseball card earlier in the show. This is kind of a follow-up to that. You played MLB The Show, the video game. Are you excited to see yourself in a video game?
Yes. I don't know which one will kind of hit me more. I think maybe The Show will hit me more than having the card, even though the card is right here in my face.
Yeah.
Because I can actually play, like using my...
Yeah.
It's hard to do that with a card, but no, it's going to be exciting. Hopefully they juice me up a little bit. And so good rating. I don't know how good it will be, but no, I'm really excited to see that. And I know me and my friends that do play a lot of The Show have talked about it a lot.
Yeah. That's very cool.
All right. Scott, we got fan questions. I got three from TikTok. You got a couple as well?
Yeah, I do. I got one from Twitter here. Darian in Edmonton. So, again, that's Alberta, just above Montana. He says, "Hey, Chad, congrats on being drafted. I'm sure you've told the story a million times, but your nickname, Cheese, how did that come about?"
I knew it was coming sooner or later.
Yeah, right?
So, the Goofy movie, Pauly Shore is the voiceover for the character. Now that I'm brainwashing, but I'm pretty sure it's Bobby. He's kind of the cool, I'm slipping the name, but he's the kind of the cool character in the movie. When you're young, everybody wants to be cool. So I see him start doing what he does, and what he does, he carries around that can of spray cheese. He goes, "Ow!" And then he sprays the cheese. And so I used to do that thinking I was a cool guy. And it, I mean, my parents don't even call me Chad anymore. It's Cheese. So
amazing.
Yeah. I haven't heard them say Chad and it's been a while.
That is a different story than I was expecting, but I love it.
That's it. Right on that.
All right. So you got any other
Should I just roll through mine here?
Yeah, just roll through yours. It'll flow.
Okay. So Jenna out of Toronto messaged us on our Discord and says, "Hey, Chad, very cool you're coming on the show. I always wind up watching Moneyball every offseason when I'm craving baseball the most. Do you have a favorite baseball movie?"
Definitely do. Just trying to make sure I don't miss any right here. Yeah. Moneyball is definitely up there. Most definitely. But then also just Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Oh man. Major League. I mean,
yeah, you got, right.
You got so many classics, but I will say that Moneyball is definitely high on that list.
Nice. Okay. So the last one I have for you is Amish out of Mississauga. So that's just outside of Toronto. And he says, "Hey Chad, congrats on the College World Series. Bummer you guys got knocked out. What were you taking in college? And now that you're going pro, will you finish it online? Are you done with school?"
No. Thank you. And me too. I wish we could have stayed in it. I was majoring in communication studies. I knew the family business was always my backup, but I knew that, if my backup wanted to change, if I ever wanted to change it, I would need something that could branch off. And so communication studies gave me an area where I could really branch off into multiple different things. But no, I have one more year left, so two semesters, and starting this fall, I'm going to go back online and finish it through the University of Tennessee.
Nice. Congrats, man. That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you. Excited.
All right. So let's pivot now to TikTok. We have some questions from some younger baseball players. So this one comes from Brianna, who says, or wants to know, how hard did you throw when you were 14 years old?
14. That's freshman year of high school, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere around there. I was probably throwing upper 70s, maybe touching a little bit of low 80s. Nothing crazy. Not like some of these new young, perfect game prospects are throwing 94 as a, 13-year-old.
It's so funny because we just had Hagen Danner on the show a few weeks ago, and he's right. So Haggy D, and he got asked the same question, and he was like, "I don't know, like 90, 91. And everyone's like, "What?"
Yeah. He's a flamethrower, though.
Oh, isn't he? Yeah.
All right. Now, next one comes from Tyler on TikTok. Wants to know how old you were when you first started to throw junk.
That is a big question because so many people fall under, they think they should throw it way too early. I started throwing junk probably as a freshman in high school. My dad never let me. He never let me until, I was fully lifting weights. My body was matured.
Good for your dad, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Arm health is such a huge deal for a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Like that's pretty big to have a parent kind of be like, "No, you can get to that." Like,
yeah, I remember one time in kind of a summer ball, little league kind of thing. I did throw a couple. I think I was 11 or 12, and he was. We had a long talk. That's for sure.
That's awesome.
Long drive home after that game.
Yeah,
we did long not stop drive. For ice cream. All right, last question here comes from TikTok. This is Sam wants to know, at what age did you stop being a hitter and just focus on pitching?
I stopped being a hitter my freshman year of college. They did ask me if, they gave me the opportunity to try to be a two-way because I could hit. People don't believe me. I could hit. It didn't matter, lefty or righty, I was going to be able to hit. But no, they gave me that opportunity, but I knew that at some point it was going to stop. And I knew that if I just, you know, put my mind to only pitching, that I would make it further than trying to hit. So I gave it up and picked up a fungo.
Now, with that in mind, how impressive is what Shohei Ohtani did this year?
That guy's a freak. There's no way to explain it other than that guy's a freak. Not many, you know, first round draft picks out of high school do that in high school.
Yeah.
And I know those guys aren't at that level yet, or of maturity or anything. That guy is a simply put, straight up freak show. It's unreal.
Like, it is possible we never see something like it again, right? Like,
I don't see it happening. And if he doesn't have a shirt that says Freak Show, SHO, he needs one.
Yeah.
He needs one. I might make it for myself and I'll wear it. I love that guy.
Isn't he fun? Chad, honestly, man, thank you so much for taking the time and sitting down with us. We really appreciate it. And all the best to you in the upcoming season.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. It's been an awesome time.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.